Ever catch yourself like really trying to read someone's mind? Like you're trying to figure out if they'll help you with something or totally dodge you. Today we're gonna like totally unpack how we predict what other people will do. And get this, how our past experiences, especially early on, really shape how we see ourselves and others. It's kind of
It
wild.
really is, yeah.
So we're diving into this super cool preprint paper. Self-other generalization shapes social interaction and is disrupted in borderline personality disorder. It's by Barnby and their team this year. Don't worry, we've got the full citation in the show notes for you. But back to the good stuff, these researchers, they made this clever experiment. They called it the intentions game. Basically, picture this. You're paired up with someone online, totally anonymous, right? And you have to decide how to split points with them.
Okay, sounds simple enough.
Right. But here's the catch. Before you choose, you have to predict what your partner is going to do. That's a whole other layer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it gets even juicier. To really get into the nitty-gritty, they threw in different kinds of choices, like options where everyone wins big, or you got to look out for number one. And even somewhere to win, your partner has to, well, lose.
Oh, wow. So it really puts those social instincts to the test.
Exactly. They wanted to see how people tackled these dilemmas, and especially if having borderline personality disorder, BPD, changed things up.
Makes sense. That's a whole other layer of complexity. But
Absolutely. So they had one group with BPD, one without, made sure they were similar in age, education, all that jazz. So they knew it was really the BPD making the
a
difference.
smart move. Got to control for those variables.
Right. And get this, both groups nailed the predictions, equally good at guessing their partners.
Really? Huh, so where's the difference then?
That's the aha moment. It's how they got there that's mind-blowing. The group without BPD, they basically used themselves as a mirror. Like
Interesting.
they unconsciously assumed their partner would choose like them. Well, I'd pick this option, so they probably will too, you know?
I can see that. Yeah, kind of a default assumption.
Exactly. And we all do it to some extent. It's human nature to use ourselves as a reference point for others. But here's where it gets really wild. After seeing their partner's actual choice, the non-BPD group, they started subtly changing their own choices in the next round.
No way. So they're adapting on the fly.
Yeah. Unconsciously syncing up with their partner, looking for that common
It's like
ground.
subconscious dance.
Yeah,
Fascinating.
right. But what about the BPD group? Remember, they were just as accurate at predicting, but here's the difference. They didn't seem to use that information to change their own choices.
So they're observing, predicting accurately, but not mirroring.
Exactly. It's like they're playing two separate games, you know, one based on their own internal world and another based on observing their partner. But not really merging the two.
Huh. And that difference, that lack of mirroring, could that be a clue to the relationship challenges often seen in BPD?
That's what's so fascinating about this research, it really might be. It's like they're not quite connecting the dots between what they see and how they act, and that disconnect, it might explain why folks with BPD sometimes have a tough time with relationships.
Makes sense, yeah, that feeling of being misunderstood or not quite on the same page.
Exactly. So the question is, why wouldn't the BPD group mirror like the others?
Right, why the difference?
Well, the researchers think it might go all the way back to childhood.
Oh, interesting.
Like, imagine growing up with relationships that were super unpredictable, kind of chaotic. Mirroring yourself onto others wouldn't really work, right?
No, not a great strategy in that environment.
So their brains might learn to separate their sense of self and how they see others as a way to deal with all that unpredictability.
A way to protect themselves, basically.
Exactly. Keeps those guards up when relying on others hasn't been so great.
But then that makes it harder to really trust, to build those secure bonds later on.
Like trying to learn a new dance move, but you're stuck in a totally different rhythm.
You can see it, but that flow, that connection from moving together, it's just not there.
And this study, it dug even deeper, looking at trauma, paranoia. That stuff matters too.
Yeah, those are biggies.
They used questionnaires, figured out levels of childhood trauma, how much paranoia people felt. And guess what? Both were linked to less flexibility learning about their partners in the game.
Wow, so like past hurt makes it harder to be open to something new.
Right, like someone being kind when you're expecting the worst.
Exactly. And if you're already kind of suspicious, well, trusting someone new, that's tough.
So we've got that piece now, but there's more. Ever notice how some people just get you while others are totally clueless?
Oh, all the time.
That's mentalizing, being able to understand what's going on in people's heads.
Our own and everyone else's,
Yeah.
really.
It's like having a map of the social world helps you navigate all the feelings and tensions.
Without it, you're kind of stumbling in the dark.
And guess what? This study found that struggling with mentalizing also linked to less learning, less being influenced by others in the game.
Okay, so now we're talking about trauma making you less trusting, paranoia adding suspicion, and if you're not great at mentalizing on top of that.
It's like a triple whammy to forming those deep connections.
Makes it so much harder to really connect, to be on the same wavelength.
Right. It's a lot to wrap your head around, all this research. But here's the thing. It's not about labeling people or saying, that's it, that's all there is.
Definitely not. There's always more to the story.
It's more about understanding how our experiences, especially early on, can shape how we connect with others.
And hopefully finding new ways to help people build stronger, healthier relationships.
Exactly. And that's what's so hopeful about all this. Because even though the BPB group, they didn't mirror in the game, they were still spot on with their predictions.
Right. Like you were saying, still super perceptive of other people, just not using themselves as the starting point.
Yeah. It's like they're playing with a different rule book, but they're still in the game, you know?
Adapting, finding workarounds. I like that.
Me too. And that's what we need to remember. This research, it's not saying BPD means you're destined to be alone. Or that relationships are impossible.
Not even close. It's just highlighting a different way of seeing things, a different way of connecting.
And if anything, it shows just how amazing our brains are, how we can adapt to tough stuff and still find ways to understand each other.
Absolutely. It's all about recognizing those different paths and finding what works.
And that's where things get exciting, because this research, it opens up whole new ways to think about helping people with BPD.
Like, if we know that mirroring isn't always happening naturally, maybe we can teach those skills directly.
Exactly. What if we could help people strengthen that mentalizing muscle, give them tools to better understand those inner worlds, both their own and other people's?
It'd be like learning a new language, right? The language of emotions and hidden social cues.
Exactly. And the more fluent we are, the easier it is to connect, to build trust, you know?
And that's something everyone can benefit from, whether you have BPD or not.
Totally. Because at the end of the day, we all see the world through lenses shaped by our own experiences.
And sometimes those lenses, they need a little adjusting so we can really see each other.
So next time you catch yourself making a snap judgment, hit pause for a sec. Ask yourself, am I really seeing this person? Or am I just seeing a reflection of my own expectations?
Because that shift in perspective, that's where empathy lives, that's where connection starts to grow.
So true. Well, that's about all the time we have for this deep dive into self-other generalization. We covered a lot of ground, but the conversation doesn't have to stop here.
Yeah, keep those questions coming, keep learning, keep challenging those assumptions.
Because the more we understand about ourselves and each other, the more connected we all become. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next deep dive.